GM, and welcome to episode 40 of the CryptoTicker podcast. Dr. Khalifa Al-Shimari has worked in a variety of fields, such as global policy, diplomacy, and energy. But he has a special interest in AI and how to best make use of AI. He was just recently appointed as the Chief Strategy Officer for Scienjoy Holdings Corporation. Scienjoy was founded in 2011 and listed on the NASDAQ in 2019. What started out as a live streaming company has by now become one of China's most popular types of online entertainment. Just recently, Scienjoy acquired DVCC Technology, which is the operator of the metaverse-based Dubaiverse Cup. In this episode, we not only talk about why this acquisition is special, but also about the different levels of AI, how they can help metaverse environments, and what Scienjoy has planned for the future. Now, enjoy episode 40 with Khalifa Al-Shimari. Welcome, Khalifa Al-Shimari. You just joined recently Scienjoy, which is, well, a pretty interesting company working in metaverse and also with AI. And you joined there as Chief Strategy Officer, if I'm not mistaken. But probably it would be best if I am not trying to explain who you are and what you do, but if you maybe do that yourself a little bit.
Sure. Thank you, Dominic. I'm a jack of all trades. I have a quite extensive background in the academic side, the medical side, diplomacy, policy, government relations, energy, future energy, and essentially I've followed the transition and development of technology all the way from the mobile era up to now the AI era. I have a quite extensive background and hands-on experience with all the OEMs, the technology manufacturers and producers, as well as the consumer side of it. And that's what really gives me the privilege to be in this seat talking to you, as well as help usher in the new era of what the metaverse has to be rather than what it is.
Okay, that's quite impressive, actually. Maybe you can talk a bit about what Scienjoy actually does. What is the company all about if people are not aware of it?
Sure. Scienjoy is actually quite an interesting company. And even when I was considering joining it, it piqued my interest because it's unique in how it came to be and what it's really aiming to do. So Scienjoy was established in 2011. And the idea was came on legacy of the mobile development and creation from security part of it. And they joined into the streaming industry. And it was rather straightforward and quite lucrative. But part of the streaming requirement, they had to develop everything from scratch because they were way ahead of their time. And that's the one thing I can always say about these kind of tech companies. If the R&D is done in-house and the spending on the R&D is quite substantial, total budget of the company, this is somewhere you can actually trust to make things proper, to make things fit for purpose, rather than just patching pieces here and there or having half-baked solutions. Scienjoy, of course, kept evolving and growing as their user base grew. Currently, they're sitting at 300 million users.
300 million.
Exactly.
Okay.
When I heard it the first time, I was impressed. 300 million users, and that's just the actual users without any other of the nice spices people add to the calculations and numbers. And to take even further, of these 300 million users, it's split into six platforms, six apps streaming. And this covers the majority of China, as well as Middle East and North Africa, and the broadcast and entertain in multiple languages. At the same time, to create this kind of infrastructure, they had to build all the back-end requirement by themselves, their streaming apps, as well as the social interaction, the crypto requirement for it, all the regulatory things behind it. So essentially build the whole thing. And that's, if you look at it compared to other companies, quite impressive, but also shows just how much effort they're putting into making things right. And that's why it's when it came to the listing in 2020 in NASDAQ, it was no surprise to anyone that it was a success.
And what are the platforms? You said 300 million users, they are divided into six different platforms serving in China, in the Middle East, and in Northern Africa, if I got it correctly.
That's
correct. What kind of platforms, I mean, can I imagine them to be? You said something about apps as well. Like, what's the content? What's the streaming all about? Or what is it actually that users consume on these platforms?
So the users actually can attend live streaming from the content creators directly, can interact with them, can socialize, communicate, and all sorts of elements related to that kind of field. Mm-hmm. And the split is based on demographic, based on age group and type of content created by the talent, as well as the language used.
Yeah. Okay, okay, okay. And now just recently, if I got it correctly, Scienjoy has purchased or has done the acquisition of DVCC, which is a company that is basically running the Dubaiverse Cup, which is a metaverse-based Dubai racing club, if I'm not mistaken. And maybe you can talk a bit about that, but also my understanding is that this was basically the starting point for you, although you have not been involved with DVCC or Scienjoy before, right? But it was it on purpose? Was it planned that you basically start with that point in time, or did it just happen by accident, more or less?
Actually, it's quite an interesting intersection of multiple elements at the same time, just like being there at the right time, the right place. Hmm. At the right opportunity. So the CEO of Scienjoy, he was, of course, always a hands-on guy because he's an engineering background and he is very much into the development side of things. He's been noticing the trends of the consumers. Hmm. The consumers, the users, they want more. They want more interaction. They want more cohesive systems. They are fed up with the fragmentation of it. And the continuity of it is always a problem. People want the second life online. But for the current structure, everything's fragmented everywhere. And he saw that the only way to move forward, where the market is going, where the user demands, is always going to be something that is quite comprehensive, that gives you everything from A to Z. Mm-hmm. It's somewhere where you can literally do everything under the sun. You can interact, you can socialize, you can learn, you can work, you can be part of something much bigger. And it doesn't have to be limited by geographical boundaries or time zones or anything like that. And the only answer to that is the metaverse. Mm-hmm. And part of his foray into the metaverse, he needed to actually have some kind of hand-on approach to this, because with this kind of technology company, it's all about the IPs and the know-how. Mm-hmm. DVCC is a very unique acquisition. It's a company that has exclusivity to be the first in the world, has a complete exclusive right to broadcast the entire Dubai World Cup in the metaverse, but at the same time host a multitude of events throughout the year, issue NFTs and use crypto as a backside of it, and most importantly, have social interaction or a small community of like-minded, forward-looking high earner consumers. Mm-hmm. That just tells you the amount of refinement and quality that have to be there, not only to attract them, but to retain them. Mm. And that's just the perfect dish. It's have everything we need to supplement all the technology know-how that Scienjoy has so far.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and I can imagine that this is also one of the key points why you joined. My understanding is that before you joined, you've been working strongly with AI also over the last couple of years, and you, or maybe you can state that yourself, see that AI is one of the main technologies to actually leverage metaverse and the whole experience around it, and actually to make it something that is, well, available and really works globally. What you just mentioned before, right?
Sure. If you allow me to oversimplify things a little bit.
Yeah.
The evolution of technology has always been quite straightforward, but there's always resistance. We have the tools. It's just about the adoption of it. When crypto started, everyone was claiming a lot of things about it. It's not going to work. It's mostly going to be used by illegal things, et cetera, et cetera. But it presented a robust system that can govern, control, and easily facilitate all the economical transactions. Mm. And based on the concept of a blockchain itself, everything is quite visible, it's auditable, and it's shared. That is the tools required for it. AI is just a very much a similar tool. AI is a natural evolution of technology. We've always had AIs in one way or another, all the way back from the 80s. We just mm-hmm. never called it AI because AI now became a trendy word. Okay. Even in the 90s, using the word AI was more associated with sci-fi movies rather than actual applications. And when I, growing up, the majority of the tools I use in the industry and the things I've been using in the education side, all of it can also be considered to be AI. It's not just data management. It's you train an algorithm to have a logic, and it executes the logic based on the parameters. Now, computing power expanded and grew over the years. Our ability to process massive amounts of data, and let alone the data quality, evolved significantly compared to before. And it's just natural evolution of it. And AI is not going to be replacing people's jobs. It's not going to be changing things or ruining the world like a lot of people say. It's just like when they talked about the mobile phone era, they're going to give you cancer, it's going to cause the downfall of humanity. AI is a tool. Always going to be the case. It supplements the way we conduct business. It supplements the way we conduct our life. Even the utilization of AI assistants that started all the way back from Siri and the likes. It was not so significant or threatening, but it's a tool that it's as good as the user. And that's where I see that it's coming next. This is just going to be part of everything we do, like it or not. Because you cannot just keep relying on fragmented softwares or things where have required a lot of user input and initiations. Because you want things to be smarter, you want to be smoother, and you want your life to be less complicated. And that's where personally I see AI to fit.
And how do you think, or I mean, a lot of the things that you mentioned, and I have to agree, they are running. For a big part of it, they are running in the background, right? So you're not even going to be aware as a consumer or as a user that AI-based or AI-powered technology is being used in certain, well, experiences. Can you maybe give some examples where maybe Scienjoy is already facilitating AI-powered technology, or where you are currently really looking into how you can make use of it? Is there something you can or you are allowed to talk about which will be coming rather soon?
Sure. So a part of me joining the Scienjoy team is because of my extensive experience in the academic side as well as the technical side when it comes to AI. And there's an opportunity that's currently being missed. Majority of the AI development I would call to be generic. You take an algorithm, you take a model, you're training on just general data. And that's a lot of lack of efficiency when it comes to the actual requirement of the model development. At the same time, for you as a consumer, you get a lot of non-personal, non-useful information or feedback from the AI tool. And that's just the one-to-one interaction with it. There's an opportunity in the market to create something that's quite unique for the users rather than just try and sell them generic things that's not really meant for the consumer base. And majority of the current offerings was meant more of as an experiment, as a proof of concept. It's not really there for the consumer. And that's why I joined Scienjoy. I want to create consumer-focused AI that is not just an all-knowing, malevolent AI. No, it's going to be an AI that is you, to put it simply.
Okay.
What we're trying to offer right now is essentially a full interconnected metaverse that offers everything you could ever need in one place. And as you interact with it, this massive amount of data will be created. And if the users are interested and want that data to be utilized to train an AI that's unique to them and them alone, then would actually initiate it on their behalf, and then essentially the models will continue to learn and adapt. The more they interact with our verse, the more they utilize it, the more they communicate, it will learn all the basics of the way how you talk, the tone, the interests, relationships, socializing requirements, what their current aspirations, etc., etc. Essentially, think of it more like your AI journal. Not only will listen to you, not only will learn from you, but it will start pitching in and supporting you in ways that you don't even need to dictate or initiate, but rather it's going more organic. And of course, being conservative about it, in the initial stages, we're aiming to reach autonomy level 2 only. So think of it more like an assistant that knows you, knows everything that you know and everything you do, and can start helping you in diverse as in give you a presence of 24/7 thing while you're even not connected. But down the line, conservatively speaking, with the amount of data we'll be gathering, it's not even a challenge to get it to autonomy level 3. Because the amount of data it will be processing, the amount of learning it will need to do, is only going to be specific to the unique user. And of course, user can change that as they please. And
Can you explain? Because to be honest, I'm personally not aware of the different autonomy levels of AI. You were talking about autonomy level 1, 2, 3. Maybe there are more. Can you explain that a little bit so people can understand actually the different levels of that?
So there's two ways to think about it. So there's one is essentially the AI side of it and what it can do and cannot do. And then there's, of course, the consumer side. From the consumer side, AI level 2 is just an AI that will ask permission to do things, will do things that's already done before, it's been approved, and essentially stays within the safe margin. Level 3 is when it actually takes the training wheels off and starts suggesting things to you, start doing things. Like, if, for example, it knows you have a meeting in the next 15 minutes and you need to travel for 20 minutes and you haven't left your home yet. It will tell you where you need to go. It will might even order you an Uber or something like that. And that's kind of intelligent support. Think of it as a personal assistant who is actual human, who knows what you need, try to predict the requirements while pulling information as is relevant to you. And that's just going to be one of the sphere of your personal world or your personal information and knowledge and needs. And from the AI side, typically for level 1, level 2, the AI cannot develop itself or add additional functionality to itself from the code perspective. It just stays limited within specific areas we control and govern it on. For level 3, the AI will start to selectively choose what additional requirement the user needs and try to integrate these one way or the other. And it's not really going all the way to essentially connect with everything you own in the internet or your Internet of Things house or smart homes, but it's more about your interest, for example, related to stock exchange. So it will try to link to the APIs from the stock tickers, try to update you on it. There's an earning coming. There's something happening. And start to predict whatever your requirement's going to be. At the same time, it goes for social events. Your friend's been sick. Probably going to tell you, probably should check on them, maybe send them some flowers. Someone's graduating. This would be the social norm, the normal interaction. It supplements your needs. So instead of having a partner to remind you of what you need to do, the AI is going to take care of that for you. And it's going to be always running 24/7, which means the more you interact in with it or with the verse, it will learn, it will adapt, and it will keep expanding its sphere to take care of everything that you need.
Short break. If you like this episode of CryptoTicker, hit the pause button and leave us a rating and a subscribe. This helps us quite a bit as a podcast, and we appreciate any feedback. And if you need more insights and info after the episode, just check out CryptoTicker.io. There you can find everything about cryptocurrencies, Web3, NFTs, and much more. Already since 2015, the CryptoTicker team has been taking care of offering newbies and pros a home in the crypto space. On CryptoTicker.io, you will find new articles and insights every day, packed with news, tips, background info, and exciting insights. In the CryptoTicker Discord, you can exchange ideas with thousands of like-minded people, ask questions, make contacts, and much more. Take a look at the show notes right now, because there you will find all the links to CryptoTicker and you can directly become a part of the community. And now enjoy the rest of the episode of this CryptoTicker podcast. Okay, got it. Thanks for that. So you were talking earlier before, you were talking about basically, at least that's how I understood it, your or Sanjoy's understanding of what the metaverse will be looking like or could be looking like. And I think there are many different ways, or I don't think it's probably really true that there are many different ways how to define what a metaverse will be. My understanding now, also after your explanation on AI and how you will be using it and leveraging it in the future, is that it is something which is spanning way more areas than how you would imagine for example, a metaverse environment which you would join as an avatar right now and basically play around or something, but it would be way more. It would basically be your online meeting place. It would be your where you hold business meetings, right? It would be something where you spend free time, but not necessarily in an avatar kind of style, but more as a, yeah, your tools, your basic go-to places where you spend time. Is that correct? Is that the understanding of you and also SignJoy on the metaverse part, or is it different? And did I maybe misunderstand it a bit?
No, you're actually on the point exactly. Our vision of the metaverse is not just the simplified gaming entertainment side of it. It's not about the avatars. Yes, avatar is a good representation if you interact with other people. But what the metaverse is, from a thesis perspective, it's a place that consolidates everything you could ever need. All your interactions, even, for example, on your phone. Majority of your life is on the phone, but every part of it is split into different apps with different mm-hmm. tools, with different access, with different identities. People are getting fed up with that because you cannot really keep up, and there's apps for everything, and everything is fragmented. And from data continuity perspective, for business continuity perspective, even social interaction continuity, that cannot be the case moving forward, especially since the demand for these tools is not as fragmented as it used to be in the old days, where sometimes you would use WhatsApp, sometimes you would use other parts of social media and just drop mm-hmm. it. It's continuous. And that's what we see. It's the natural evolution of what the internet is today. Instead of being just some websites, like even in the olden days, if you remember, the websites used to have one singular purpose only. And now you have massive websites that does literally a lot of things all together and connected with the same identity. The metaverse is just a natural evolution. That's the next phase. And it's not going to be limited to just entertainment. It's not going to be limited to socializing or even gaming and such, but even expands into education, expands into medical, government, all the way to conducting business on day-to-day meeting. Because it's not just about meeting people or interacting and socializing, but having that unique identity that takes you throughout all the requirements, all the different data sets, all the different tools and platforms you need to access, and allow you to control it in a more simplified manner.
And is it something, I mean, if I think about how SignJoy could leverage that, or how SignJoy could actually make that become a reality. I mean, you were speaking in the beginning, we were speaking about 300 million users on 6 different platforms. Is that your, well, let's say starting point, although it's a very already advanced starting point for developing this further, or is it rather something where you want to work as an infrastructure provider and actually provide technology to, well, other companies or institutions basically trying to build this globally connected metaverse type of future? Is it more infrastructure, or is it that you really build this platform by yourself or trying to build it by yourself?
Well, I would answer this question with a question. Why not both?
Yeah. I was somehow thinking that you might ask this. Yeah.
So honestly, that's our approach is going to be, because what we want to build, what we envision, does not exist. Mm-hmm. And we cannot just passively wait for someone to come up with it or someone to finally figure out the minimum requirements for it. Yeah. So we're going to build a platform from scratch. Since we have the know-how, we have the technology, and we have a rather impressive yet significant R&D team. Mm-hmm. And we want them to start creating things really out of the box rather than be limited to one or two platforms or areas. Mm-hmm. At the same time, we see a business opportunity there. Building it from scratch gives us not just control over it, but also make sure that we build it right. Mm-hmm. Not for our sake, but rather for the consumers, for the users, for the entire world, because this is the future. It's not a short-term gimmick. It's not an app we're building and in 5 years we're going to appreciate and try to become something else. Yep. No, this is going to be it. Going to build it based on the basis tenet of the internal expectations when it comes to transparency, autonomy, and control. We want to build it so it is open to everyone. Yeah. And it's going to be an open source platform that is open even to our competition. Mm-hmm. And we want to honestly collaborate with everyone. If you have any assets in existing verses, metaverses or others, or you have assets as NFTs or have mm-hmm. crypto, you want to move it into ours. Yeah. That'd be very transparent and straightforward. If you want to move it out, also need to be transparent and easy. It need to be, of course, in line with all the government regulations and requirements. It need to be with the right terms of auditing and controlling governance to make sure there's no any opportunity for someone to take advantage of the system yeah. or try to have kind of malicious intent. Mm. We want this to be a safe community space for yeah. everyone. Yeah. Yeah. And we're going to, of course, structure it in tiers. So level zero, level one, these are going to be essentially the core of it. And these are going to be utilizing Sanjoy's existing assets in media, entertainment, and such. Because the worst thing you can do when you launch a platform like this is you join us, the first initial joiners, come to an empty place mm-hmm. or what happened some of our competition. And there's nothing there. Yeah. So yeah, you join because you're curious, but then you lose interest quickly because you have to wait maybe a few years until something's populated. We don't want to make that mistake. So mm-hmm. from the beginning, we're going to be utilizing that. For layer two is going to be our collaborations with partners. We know, and we can find in the news literally on a weekly basis, the giants, the massive companies, all have interest in the metaverse. They want to have presence. They want to have access. They want to be able to provide something. But there's no one to guide them. All the platforms out there are just so hostile to third-party developers and companies mm-hmm. that essentially they will be joining it at a loss for the sake of putting it in a strategy or for marketing purposes.
Yeah.
We want to partner with them from the beginning and help them build what they need because we do know have the know-how, we have the technology, and we're going to guide them how to do it. It will allow them to interact with their customers, allow them to even distribute what their content is, and even some of them going to be full-fledged hosting events, mm-hmm. and not just a business event, but even entertainment, like a musical roadshow or entertainment debut, or even with existing celebrities.
Yeah.
The point is we want to also to be customized to the users. So users can actually interact back and forth with the business, interact with the celebrity, interact with the talent, and have the autonomy to do that at their own leisure, at their own time, mm-hmm. rather than being forced as in now we turn it on, tomorrow we turn it off, and it's done.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, layer three is going to be the open to public, and that's going to be the open source platform. That's for everyone I talked about previously. And we want the integration or the threshold for people to enter be very, very low. And that's why from the beginning, we are insistent on this not being launched as exclusively VR headset requirement,
mm-hmm.
but rather it's going to be a tool or a platform that you can access from your phone. You can access it from web interface on your computer. You can even hook it up to your smart TV because it's not about the how pretty the 3D images look.
Mm-hmm.
It's about the interaction. It's about the utilization, the utility of it.
Yeah. I can get that. That sounds actually like there is a lot on your plate for the coming years, and a lot of things that you'll be diving in. But you seem to have a very good idea of how you want to approach it and where you want to well basically end it, but not actually end it, but keep on developing. Obviously, just a little bit towards the end of our little session here. You just started like 2 weeks ago. So when we'll be releasing, it will be roughly a month. What are you currently doing on a day-to-day basis? Because I have to imagine it, you'll be torn apart probably between already diving into very specific topics, but also still getting to know a lot of it, right? I mean, maybe you can talk a bit about what is your day looking like? Is there a typical day at the moment?
The short answer is no. And that's always going to be the case with these kind of companies because it's rapid growth. Mm. And that's the real reason I'm so excited about this company. Because I'm not going to have to build everything slowly. I'm not going to have to burn cash in the beginning and do it as a one massive launch. Yeah. Actually, our initial phases of our tools will be launched next month as phase one.
Okay.
That fast. Okay. And that's what I was saying before. We have an amazing team, R&D team. They work fast. They understand what we're trying to build. And we work as a cohesive team. We set the strategy and we immediately execute on it because we know where this is going. We're not doubting ourselves. We're not worried about the competition or what others might think because this is it. We're getting ahead of the curve. We are setting the curve ourselves. Yeah. And it's just a matter of making it happen. We have the tools. We have the know-how. We have the team. We just need to put it together. And my job mostly has been bouncing between the tech side of things, helping the development and how it's supposed to work from the governance side and regulatory side, making sure it's full compliance with all the requirements. Yeah. Because what these kind of things, if you build it right from the beginning, you never have to worry about it. And that's why we have a two opposing team currently working. Essentially, one challenges the other when it comes the strategy approach, the governance approach, and the transparency approach. And we have very strong advocates for transparency. And honestly, that's the main reason we hire them. We want people to question us from the inside before our users start to question us. We need to be ready.
Or before regulators start questioning you.
Actually, regulators are not the worry for us as much because we are building this in compliance with the regulator. We are talking to the regulators. Yeah. I previously supported the UAE government in putting these policies and laws. So we are well aware of it and we are working with them in development. Yeah. Yeah. But the users' all needs and demands are always going to be much, much higher and faster than whatever regulator can do because regulations always lags. Yeah. Do the bare minimum is the regulation, do the bare minimum policy, but I want to offer something that's more comprehensive than anyone else have done yet. Mm-hmm. I want people to have the trust that when they use this platform, they own it, they control it, no one can take it away from them, no one can manipulate it or change it, no one can scam them out of it. And most importantly, whatever time and effort you put in it is a reward for it. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a play-to-earn model, so the more you spend and interact with it, the better for you as a user. From my side, the more you interact with it means the more you buy into the concept, means more and more elements I can integrate into this verse to give you the full experience. At the end of the day, our vision is we want to blur the lines between reality and the verse. What you do in reality should affect the verse, and what you do in the verse should affect reality. Whatever benefits or privileges or advantages you have in reality, be it from membership to clubs, being part of a group or part of a company, that should translate to the verse. And anything that you have a member of in the verse should also translate to reality. Mm-hmm. And that's why the entertainment part of it, the shopping part of it, even ordering food, need to be interactive, need to be fun in the verse, and you benefit from it in real life.
That actually sounds like a very, very good ending. Thank you very much for being with me and for explaining it and what you're planning to do, your position, what you're planning to do at CyanJoy in the future. It sounds really, really exciting. And it sounds like there is a lot to be done still. But you already said next month there will be the first launch of the first phase. So definitely looking forward to it. Thank you very much for being with me and for taking the time to explain everything in detail. And all the best to you.
Thank you, Dominic. It's been a pleasure and look forward to chatting up again once we launch phase two.
We do. Cheers. Bye-bye.
Cheers.
Thank you for listening. If you liked this episode, feel free to leave us a like, click subscribe, make a review, and be sure to check out our social media channels as well as the newsletter. There you will always find all the news about the CryptoTicker podcast. And now have a nice rest of the day and until next time.